1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6.
Something that all of us need, but sometimes is not considered that great by some people, and that is to be humble. We've heard tonight how sickness sometimes humbles you, how getting well slowly humbles you, and God wants us to be humble. This morning I preached from the Gospel of Luke about the lady who was a sinner, but she went into that house humbled, and she was brokenhearted because of what the Lord had done for her, and she knelt at His feet in a very humble place, and anointed His feet, washed His feet with the tears that she cried. But she was humble. There was another person in the house that day who was very proud. And I think he was Simon the Pharisee. And there we saw the extremes, the pride and the humility. Tonight I want to talk to you about that, about humility, and how humility is something we really need, and how it's really a great thing to have humility. Let's read verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to talk about this subject that You value and this characteristic, Lord, that You want to see in us. I pray that we might truly humble ourselves before You. And I thank You for these dear people and the good testimonies tonight. And I pray You bless each individual life. Help us all as we strive to live for You, Lord, and to please You in our everyday, in our everyday work and walk for You. But, Lord, we know that we don't please You so much as our standing in Christ does. And if it was up to us, if it was up to us to please You so we could get to heaven, we'd never make it. But we thank You that You're pleased with Your Son. And because we stand in His righteousness, You also say You can be pleased with our activities as we serve You. So help us to see this important thing about humility tonight. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Humility is not something that's highly prized by the world. Today's society really does not value it that much. The world puts much more value on things such as self-reliance, positive self-image, pride, personal determination, physical strength, outward beauty, but really they don't list humility as one of those coveted characteristics. But God does. God says that it's something that is very important for the Christian. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, it says, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." God says, if you want to be great, don't be self-reliant, don't be determined. The Lord says, be a minister, be a servant to others. It should not surprise us that God's view is different than man's view, because the Scripture says God doesn't see things like we do. And He says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." So it shouldn't surprise us that what the world values is not actually what the Lord values. So tonight I want us to look at some reasons why humility is something that is we should desire, and humility is something that is really great. As we share this message tonight, I hope it won't be like I heard a few years ago. I don't all of you remember Paul Harvey. I miss Paul Harvey. He always had some good wisdom. But I was listening to him one time, and he said this. He said there was a hand dryer had been removed from a church. And then he explained why the hand dryer had been removed from the church. Because somebody had put a sign on the hand dryer that said this: "For sample of last week's message, push the button below." So I hope this is not just hot air. I thought that was very humorous. I don't know if it really happened, but I'd say it probably did. So we won't have hand dryers, because I don't want those kind of notes. But humility is a great thing. And humility is great because of several reasons. Let me give you some of those reasons. First of all, humility is a great thing because it pleases God. It pleases God because God demands humility and humility before Him. Any person with a proper view of God and a proper view of self must be humble. I mean, you really, there's no way else to look at it. If you have a proper view of God and you have a proper view of yourself, you will be humble. Because God is so big and you're so small. God is so holy and we are so unholy. And God is so wise and we are so lacking in wisdom that when we compare ourselves to God, we have to be holy. That's why I've said on many occasions, if you find a religious person who's stuck on himself, he really thinks he's something, then you'll find somebody that's not very close to God because you can't think that way if you're close to the Lord. And so we have to be humble. The Scripture says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, walk humbly with thy God. We just read 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due time. Sin is always an evidence of pride and a lack of humility. So God wants us to be humble, and God demands that. Also, God demands humility before other people. Not only does He demand it before Him, but He demands it before other people. Just think about this. If everyone around you knew everything about you that God knew, that would be bad, wouldn't it? You would not be able to be proud. If everybody around you knew everything that God knows about you, you would not be proud. And neither would anybody else. Because they would know about you, and you would know about them, and you would know everything. And we would not be proud when we face that kind of scrutiny. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there, we'll look at a few verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So the Lord says, I demand humility not only before God, but He also demands humility before men. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, he says several things there, but he concludes it by saying, let each esteem other better than themselves. So let each esteem others better than themselves. So we have to be humble before others if we are pleasing to God. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, put on humbleness of mind. God gives a list of things He wants us to put on, and one of those is humbleness of mind. And not only does God demand humbleness before Him, and He demands humbleness or humility before others, He also says that He hates the opposite of that, and that is pride. God hates pride. You're familiar with this verse, but I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, and then we'll look at chapter 16 of Proverbs. Proverbs 6, verse 16. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. But you notice what the first on the list is? He says, God hates a proud look. So humility is great because it's something that pleases God. He demands it of us before Him. He demands it of us before others. And He hates the opposite of that, which is pride. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pretty strong language. Then look at verse 19. He says, better it is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's better to be of a humble spirit than to be among those that are proud. And so God says pride is hated by him, and humility is desired by him. Proverbs 21 verse 4 says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. And 1 Peter again chapter 5 verse 5 says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so humility is great because it's what pleases God. Also, humility is great for another reason. And that is, humility is great because it produces results. If you're humble, it will produce results that God is pleased with. First of all, humility brings salvation. I don't believe there's anybody here that's saved who would be able to say that you began, when you became a Christian, that you were proud before God. One of the first things God has to do with us is humble us. So humility brings salvation. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So the Lord breaks someone's heart, and he humbles them before they ever come to him. They won't come to him unless the Lord humbles them. And so humility brings salvation. It's a prerequisite, you might say, for salvation. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says it like this. To this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Who is God going to look to? Who is he going to work for? The person who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at his word. That's humility. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 says, They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You remember the context. Paul is praying for the Jews. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said they have a form of righteousness, and they go about seeking this, but they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They're trying to establish their own righteousness, but they were proud. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So to be saved, you've got to submit yourself to the righteousness of God, and so it takes humility. You remember the account in Luke 18, I referenced it this morning, of the man who went down to the temple to pray. He was a Pharisee, and the publican also went. And the publican humbled himself, and he smote upon his breast. He said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the old Pharisee looked around and he saw the publican. And he said, God, I thank you I'm not like other men. I fast and I do all these things. And I thank you that I'm not like that publican. And the Lord asked the question, who went down to his house justified? You remember, humility brings salvation or leads to salvation. Who went down to his house justified? The humble one. The sinner that smote on his breast, not the proud guy. Many proud religious people are going to end up in hell. Only a humbled heart will submit to the message about Jesus and how you're such a bad sinner that he had to die for you and that he paid the price for your sins, and the only way you can be saved is through him. It's not through you. It's not through your efforts. It's through what he did for you. It takes a humble heart to accept that. So humility is great because it brings salvation. It also brings exaltation. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so the Lord says, if you exalt yourself, you'll be brought down. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And so humility brings exaltation. It's great because of what it produces. It brings exaltation. We have nothing that we can bring to God that would make us proud. And so God wants us to be humble. And he says, if you humble yourselves, I'll exalt you. James chapter 4, verse 10, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And we started off with 1 Peter 5:6. Says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on Him, because He cares for you. I use that verse over and over when I visit in the hospital. On lots of occasions, I use that verse. Because the person lying in the bed there, they're in a humbled position. They're sick. They're in need. But the Lord says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. They might be weak, but He's mighty. So humble yourself before the Lord. Wait on Him, and He will exalt you in due time. And while you're doing that, cast all your care on the Lord, because He cares for you. And so God says, humility brings exaltation. But then humility brings something else, and that is it brings answered prayer. You see, I'm telling you that humility is great because of the rewards that it brings, or the result that it brings. And one of those, it brings answered prayer. Psalm 9, verse 12 says, He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Psalm 10, verse 17, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And so the Lord says that if you humble yourself, He's going to answer your prayer. So if you come to the Lord in a prideful way, then your prayers are not going to be answered. But if you come to the Lord humbled, then your prayers will be answered. And so humility brings answered prayer. Another thing that humility brings, and that is humility brings instruction from God. Here's what the verse says, Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. A meek person is a person who's humble, not weak, but he's humble. He has controlled strength. A humble person, the Lord says, I teach humble people. You've heard it said of some people that they're teachable. You know, if I get a request for a recommendation, I don't always say this because it's not always true. But if I can say it, I always do. If the person who I'm supposed to be recommending for a job or for college or whatever it might be, if I can say of that person they have a teachable spirit, that's a great thing to put on a resume or on a recommendation. But I won't say if it's not true, but if they have a teachable spirit, that's very good. And that's the way God looks at it. And God says, I want people to be teachable. And so humility is great because it brings instruction from God. Because you humble yourself to be taught by the Lord. There's nothing wrong with coming to God and say, God, I'm really in need of You. I don't understand. Lord, teach me. And the Lord will teach you. So He gives instruction to humble people. Humility also brings something else, and that is peace. Psalm 37, verse 11 says, but the meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Humble people have peace. Humble people are more apt to have peace from God because they're humbly submitting to Him and waiting on Him. Also, humility brings grace. Proverbs 3, verse 34 says, surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. Grace is unmerited favor. You know, it's nothing wrong with telling the Lord, Lord, I don't deserve this. You're so good to me. I mean, I don't deserve how good You are to me. And the Lord, as much as says, that's good. I'll just give You more. Because I like to give humble people grace. And so, surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace to the lowly. And then James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, He clotheth with humility. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. It's interesting, the context of 1 Peter 5, that is, He's talking to preachers. He's talking to pastors and telling them how they should behave. And then He says, He giveth grace to the humble. It's bad when you become a proud preacher. You're not worth much. And we don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. And I know you don't want a pastor that's proud. I've met a lot of pastors in my life. Most of them are very humble men. I work with some godly pastors in camp. And I can say of all of them, they have a humble spirit. That's why the kids sometimes like to be around them. Because they're just normal people and they have a humble attitude. It's important for preachers to be humble. And God says He requires that. Humility brings something else. It brings encouragement. Look at Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One." We know that's talking about God. "That inhabiteth eternity." God lives in eternity. "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." The Lord says, "I revive the heart of the humble person." God is the one who encourages humble people. So if you want encouragement from God, you need to be humble. Humility also brings honor. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Before honor is humility. Proverbs 22, verse 4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." And then Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." So humility brings honor. Honor from God and many times honor from others as well. And then humility brings something else. And that is, I found in studying this, that humility brings wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 11, verse 2. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." So humility brings wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. A proud man doesn't have much wisdom. Lots of time a humble man has wisdom. I'm thinking about a man in West Virginia that I knew for many years, which our church there. Soft-spoken fellow. Always sort of slow. Never got in a hurry when he did things. And never said a whole lot. But when he spoke, you listened because he was wise. He was a wise man. And everybody recognized him as just a humble type fellow. But when he spoke, it was worth listening to. God says humility brings wisdom. If you're always up in the cloud about yourself and think you're so great, then you're going to miss wisdom. God gives wisdom to those who are humble. And then humility brings joy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Happy are the poor in spirit." Isaiah 29, verse 19, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." So humility brings all of these things. We've said that humility is great because it pleases God. And humility is great because the results it brings, and I mentioned those results as we see in these many scriptures, it brings salvation, it brings exaltation, it brings answered prayer, it brings instruction from God, it brings peace, it brings grace, encouragement, honor, wisdom, and joy. But then also, humility is great because it prevents disappointment. It prevents disappointment. A lot of proud people have been disappointed. You know, they build themselves up and all of a sudden they're knocked down. The disappointment of defeat. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." So if you don't want the destruction, you don't want the fall, then probably better not be haughty, better not be proud. humility is the place to be, because humility actually causes you to miss out on some of these things. It prevents these disappointments in life, the disappointment of defeat. Josiah, you remember King Josiah, he humbled himself when he heard the judgments promised by God. You remember they were searching through the temple and they said, "Josiah, we found a book." And it was the scroll, the Word of God. And he said, "Read it to me." And they read it to him. And the Bible says that he rent his clothes. And he knew that what he had just had read to him was promising judgment because of the children of Israel's reaction, because of their sin. And so he humbled himself before God. And because of that, God sent the prophet with a message and said, "You go tell Josiah that because he has humbled his heart and he's been the way he has before me, this judgment will come, but I will not let it come in his lifetime." And so God spared him of the disappointment that judgment was going to bring because he humbled himself. And then there's also the disappointment of shame. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Luke chapter 14. You remember the story of the man who was bidden to a wedding. And he'd go to the wedding and he would go to the high seat. And then later is disappointed. The Lord said, when you go to a wedding or something like this, he said, take the low seat. Because then if the one who's in charge of the wedding or the feast, whatever it was, he says, then if he comes in and says, "Oh, you're in the low seat. I don't want you to be there. I want you to be honored." And then you're put in the higher seat, you'll receive honor because you were humble. But he said, if you go to the wedding and you say, "Well, I belong up in that higher seat," and you go take that higher seat, and then the man in charge of the wedding comes and says, "Oh, wait a minute, you're out of place. You're supposed to be down here." Then you'll be humiliated. You'll have shame because of that. So the Lord says it's best to take the humble seat and then let pride, let the promotion come when it will. But be humble. It'll spare you the disappointment of shame. I read an interesting thing, and I thought this was pretty funny, really, but it surely makes the point. An officer who had just been promoted to the rank of colonel was sitting at his desk glancing proudly at the birds on his shoulder. That means those, you know, the wards, the stripes that were on his shoulder. A private walked in through the open door of his new office, saluted, and was about to speak when the colonel said, "Just a minute, soldier. I have to make an important telephone call." He dialed the number and said, "Hello, General Cool. I'm returning your call. You would like to have me meet with you and three other generals today at 1400 hours? Yes, I can be there." Putting down the receiver and with a smug expression on his face, he turned to the soldier, said, "Now, Private, what can I do for you?" And the private said, "I've been sent to hook up your telephone, sir." He took the proud seat and he was brought down. You know, God's in charge of things like that. And God sees when people are proud. And God is very able to bring any of us down anytime he wants to. And so God says, just be safe. Stay humble. And if exaltation is coming, I'll give that, but you'll spare yourself the disappointment of shame. And then also you'll be spared the disappointment of loss. The loss of power for service to the Lord. Remember what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul said, "I had a thorn in the flesh. And I prayed the Lord would take it away from me. I prayed three times. And the Lord said this." He said, "No. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. So, if you become proud, you will lose God's strength. Because God doesn't strengthen proud people. He doesn't want you taking credit when He's the one that deserves it all. And so the Lord says, you give Him credit and you be humble before Him. And weak, yes, maybe He gave you a thorn in the flesh. Maybe He gave you some affliction to make you weak. Well, that's just to accept that from the Lord. Because in the, maybe while you're weak, God will give you strength. And so you should consider humility as a great thing. And then also there's the loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read about that. How that we stand before the Lord to give an account of our lives. And many of the things that were done were just wood, hay, and stubble. And God burns them up. Because someday we're going to face the Lord. And the Lord sees past all that pride. He knows what really counts. He knows if you did it because you depended on Him and you loved Him and you needed Him and you did it for His glory, He knows that. He also knows if you did it for your glory. He also knows if you did it because you're proud and you think you're so great. And at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be great loss to those who are proud. So God says, be humble. And then humility is great because it prepares us for the future. You see, everything in heaven will be about the Lamb. It'll not be about us. Heaven will not be about us. It'll be about Jesus. We have the privilege of being there because of Him. But what we're going to do throughout all eternity is we're going to praise Him. We're going to serve Him. We're going to work for Him. He's the emphasis. He's the one who gets the glory. And so, might as well get used to it down here and start preparing for that. Because the Lord says that it will prepare us for the future when we're humble. Our praise will be before Him. When we stand before Him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Our works will go on display as the trophies of ourselves as a trophy of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we'll be like a trophy of God's grace. And what you've been able to accomplish for the Lord, it won't bring glory to you, it'll bring glory to Him. And so all of it's about Jesus. And then He does give us crowns. You remember those crowns? There's five of them that are mentioned in the Scripture, and there might be others. But what do we do with those crowns? According to the book of Revelation, it seems like that we take those crowns and we place them at the feet of Jesus. See, even with the crown that He gives you, there's no room for pride. Because you're saying, when you place that crown at His feet, you're saying, Lord, I couldn't have done this without You. Thank You for the privilege of serving You. And all the glory goes to Jesus. So you might say, while we're living down here, it's just a good idea to be humble. We have no reason to be proud. And if you're humble throughout your life in service to the Lord, you'll be so glad when you get to heaven that you have the right focus, because there all the focus is going to be on Jesus. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. And while you're here, cast all your care on Him, because He cares for you. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for reminding us of the benefit of humility. And I pray that we might be humble. Humble people. We know You can do great things with humble people whom we're not concerned about getting the credit. We're concerned about giving You the credit. And Lord, You can do great things through people who are that way. And I pray that You'd help us to always be there. Help us to be lowly in our mind, humble in our attitude. And may we not be proud, because we know You hate that. So, Lord, just help us to please You in everything we do as God's people. We ask in Jesus' name.